lessons of...
Yes, just as Billy Bragg says, friends, there is power in our union. I'm Bruce Bostic, proud steelworker at Labor Creates All Wealth, helping bring independent radio, buying for working folks here to working folks in Central Ohio. WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 on our dial every Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
Okay, folks, this is Bruce Bostic here at WCRS Independent Labor Radio. Labor Creates All Wealth. We're here today with Mario Giardelli. Really happy to have Mario on board. Mario is business manager for IBEW, that's the Electronic Workers, Local 683 here in Columbus. And they have eight counties, right?
Eight counties in Central Ohio, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mario, reason we're here to talk, we want to talk about the big upcoming march this weekend, August 11. And you're going to that, is that...
The Workers Stand for America rally, yes. We're Local 683 has provided two buses. We're going to have 100 people or so attend that rally.
The AFL-CIO has buses as well?
The AFL-CIO has a bus going out of our training center on Goodale Boulevard.
Okay, so why should people go to that? That's kind of a softball here. I'm going as well. But Mario, why would you tell folks... they ought to go to this rally on the 11th.
It's to show America that unions aren't going to give up. We're here to stay. The right is trying to eliminate unions. They're trying to do everything they can to squelch us with right to work and hurting the public unions, you know, blaming us for all the problems in the economy.
Well, One of the things that I know some of the right wingers, the conservatives, the corporate elements do is they say, well, you know, the unions, they're just for their members, not for anybody else. How would you respond to that, Mario?
Well, the unions have done a lot for all working people. I mean, without union contracts, people wouldn't have vacations and sick leave and paid holidays and weekends, for that matter. You know, we fought for years so people didn't have to work 7 days a week.
And the great majority of those folks that got those benefits were because unions fought for them, but they themselves were not in unions at all, right?
Exactly.
You know, one of the ones that I always like to point out is the minimum wage. Unions have always fought for the minimum wage, and there's not going to be many union members getting minimum wage or the union isn't doing their job, right?
Right.
Well, Mario, how has it the call been received among your membership, electrical workers?
I've been pleasantly surprised. I mean, usually when you try to do something, it's always the same people that participate. We're getting an interest in this that's a little surprising to me, you know, because people see the importance of us making a stand.
How much of this would you see, just kind of in your own mind, Mario, as being something that's kind of a positive spillover from a big fight over the attack on public workers last year?
Well, SB5, that fight was it was great for solidarity among the unions. I saw us come together like we haven't done in years.
And an awful lot of people I know when I was at those rallies were not union workers as well. Mario, one of the things that I've seen is a central call for the August 11 march is the call for a second Bill of Rights. Have you picked up on that? How do you see the second Bill of Rights as playing out on this?
Well, it's a Bill of Rights that go down to the core of what Americans should have as workers. We should have a living wage and a voice at work and
quality education,
things that
housing
that all workers should be afforded through their job.
Well, you know, one of the things I had kind of seen on this was it seemed very much as kind of a development where they were kind of picking up where FDR left off at the end of his life. January 11th, he talked about the new freedoms and a need for a second Bill of Rights to continue the fight. Instead of that, we move backwards a bit, and
But there's an awful lot of similarities. He talked about half the nation being ill-housed, ill-fed, ill-clothed, and insecure, and talked about the need for a living wage job, farmers having a right to make a living, eliminating monopolies, having decent housing, good education, and health care for all. So it's kind of like picking up the New Deal where it left off, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. FDR, you know, lived through a lot of adversity himself in his lifetime, and he understood what it's like to struggle.
Well, I know my mother came from a poor family in Virginia, in the western part of Virginia, and moved to Tidewater, but we used to go down and visit every year, and they had two pictures on the wall, you know, maybe more than two, but two I remember for sure. One was Jesus Christ, and the other one was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, we have a retiree of ours who's now deceased, who wrote a book. He's from that generation, and he wrote a book called Roosevelt's Children because of the importance of what he did for this country.
Yeah, and I think it's very important we pick that up. Your president, IBEW President Ed Hill, talked about how there. I saw a quote from him stating that working men and women's issues are being ignored. Lack of jobs, shipping jobs overseas. It's been going on too long, and that was part of the call to get folks to come to the rally this weekend. Are you guys really being kind of inspired by some of Ed's call to get folks out?
Yes, we have realized that probably a third of our IBEW membership has been lost by manufacturing going out of this country, and it's all corporate greed is what it is. And you know, we need to bring jobs back to the United States. We need to have good paying jobs, not minimum wage jobs. You know, a lot of people talk about jobs coming back or somebody creating jobs, but they're not meaningful if they don't have a decent wage and benefits with them.
Well, it becomes that much more important, Mario, that we really get boots on the street and really put some pressure on this. What was it, 2 weeks ago, was it, that we had a vote on a Buy American, Produce American bill that said that we would change the tax structure so that these corporations get rewarded for bringing jobs back to the United States instead of being rewarded for shipping them out, and a Republican majority in the House voted that down?
They did. And they also passed a bill here the other day to extend the Bush tax cuts.
Well, I think it brings up the question, when we talk about standing up for America, what really does it mean to stand up for America? You know, we can wrap ourselves in a flag and talk about abortion and guns and God and gays, or we can talk about really what makes America the positive things that we talk about being something that makes us Americans.
America was a great place to grow up in for me, you know. Wages were good. Neighborhoods were good.
You know, if folks here in Central Ohio, want to go, want to jump on one of the buses, do we still have seats on the buses?
I believe if you want to call the Ohio AFL-CIO at 224-8271, ask for Sarah Smith. She can get people seats on that bus.
And that's a 614 number in Central Ohio, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I understand there are also buses leaving from Cleveland, Akron, Cincinnati, other areas in Ohio as well.
I know I can only speak for the IBEW, but we've got buses going from all over the state. All the major cities are going to travel over there.
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, for the past 4 years, Obama has been in, and it's kind of been back and forth. There's been discussion, is he the greatest president ever? Is he the worst president ever? And what role we should play? And I've kind of felt like it isn't a question of abandon the electoral process or just jump on board completely, it seems to me that we need to have something where we pressure the people that are in. And it's, I'm kind of looking at it, at least at this second Bill of Rights, they're talking about having candidates sign this, I understand?
Yes.
And this will provide some pressure to whoever's in office to move in our direction. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that people that we want to support should support this Bill of Rights. And, you know, I don't want it to be like the tax pledge that the Republicans signed, you know, no more taxes. But, you know, politicians need to understand that people in America are hurting. Our wages haven't kept up with inflation. And the rich keep getting richer. So we need to have something so that we can bring this country back to the greatness it once was.
Well, you know, you talk about the rich keep getting richer. I happened to see a recent interview with Bernie Sanders from Vermont, and Bernie talked about the real crisis that's occurring with the wealth differential. He said that 1%, the top 1% in our country now control 93% of the wealth, and at the other 99% only controls 7% of the wealth. He went on to talk about how the top 1% in the last year got over 93% of the new wealth in the last year went to the rich, and they control 40% of the wealth, while the rest of the 99% control, you know, the rest, a very small percent. So and we've seen that as a result of how that treats our membership and our communities as well.
Yeah, I don't believe in the trickle-down theory. It's never worked. I think President Reagan started that, and it just doesn't work that because these people have so much money that it's going to trickle down to the rest of us. I mean, they couldn't possibly spend the wealth that they have.
And meanwhile, we have people, we have a crisis of homelessness, crisis of hunger in this country, and it just amazes me, Mario, that you hear these debates on national TV about, gee, the new jobs are being created, we have lower wage jobs, what can we do about that? And they have hour-long discussions without ever mentioning the word union.
Because they don't want us to have unions in this country. They know that unions will make a better living and decent retirement for people.
I've seen some of the statistics that union workers are more likely, I think it's 78-80% more likely to have pensions. Have you seen some of those? And
I have. You know, we're fortunate in my union. You know, people before me negotiated pensions, and I don't believe that a 401k was ever meant to be a retirement. It was meant to be a supplement to your money when you retire. It's a shame that we see non-union workers that come over to the IBEW may have worked 10 to 15 years and may have about $1,000 a year put in their 401k. Now, how long would $15,000 last you if you retired with 15 years of service?
Well, I know exactly, because I was a retired steel worker, and under Bush, they stole our pensions, and I had about that when I moved down here, and I can tell you it didn't last very long.
Right.
You know, there seems to be a debate in our country about how we approach electoral activities. Clearly, we have an election coming up here soon, and I know my union has endorsed President Obama, has very, very strongly endorsed Sherrod Brown for re-election for senator. I believe your union has as well. And there seems to be a debate on the left. Should we just
support the Democrats only, or should we go off on our own and form a new political party? Or and do you have some opinion on that? Or
well, I know that my union supports some Republicans. Jim Hughes, for example, he's a great guy. Comes from a meager background. He's an attorney by trade, but he cares about working people. You know, I don't think that we should just support one side or the other 100% of the time. And I've seen other parties try to get started. You know, to have a labor party sounds great. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the general public would ever accept it. You know, they it'd be really tough for a third party to come into power.
Yeah, one of the things that we've seen recently, the president of my union, Leo Girard from the steelworkers, talked recently at a big event, and I can't remember what the event was, but he said labor had dropped the ball. That we did all the right things, we endorsed right people, we got a good majority in, but we didn't build that outside movement to create that push on all of them. And I'd seen a piece by Larry Cohen, who's the president of the communication workers, and both those unions are strongly backing the demonstration this weekend. But Larry talked about how we've got to build a movement led by labor, minorities, women, others, that can fight for our issues and make sure our issues get there, whether we call it a new political party or an old political party or a political movement, but something that makes sure our issues get on the agenda. And I kind of see this August 11 thing as maybe leading in that direction.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you that I think it's great that some of the firefighters and the teachers have stepped up and are running for the Ohio House, for example. And, you know, they're good people. It makes it hard when you have a normal job to run for office, because especially if you're a public employee, mm-hmm. the State of Ohio Hatch Act, you know, comes into play there.
Well, now we have voter suppression laws. We had a big conference over the weekend trying to take on the voter suppression laws, and I saw over the weekend a piece that said 9 to 10% of the Pennsylvania electorate may very well be disenfranchised by these voter suppression laws that the Republicans are putting forward. And I know this is one of the demands that a right to have full participation in elections is one of the demands of the August 11 demonstration. Have you got thoughts on the voter suppression laws here in Ohio?
Yeah, I know that because it happened to one of my coworkers. The Secretary of State has put out lists to the individual county mm-hmm. boards of election aimed at people that they say there may be a problem with. And I hope they're not trying to do a purge of the voter list like they did in Florida.
You know, I think we're seeing that. One of the things, I worked some with the civil rights movement in the 60s, early 70s, and, we had this conference over the weekend, and there was a lot of discussion of legalities, but also it kind of came down to, we've got to begin to get boots on the street. And if we're gonna really fight for our right to have right to vote and right to participate in elections, it's going to take more than just getting an attorney. And I think this is one of the ways we can do that. Is that how you see it, Miriam?
Yeah, I think you know, the public needs to know what's going on. You know, they're just really trying to eliminate us.
One of the questions, one of the issues that come up is our issues of patriotism. And a lot of times, there may be a couple of different ways we look at patriotism. I see folks on the right wrapping themselves in a flag and many times not saying anything. This issue of standing up for America with American workers, I think it offers us an opportunity to begin to
really redefine again what patriotism is?
Well, I think everybody who works hard for a living and does the right things in their community, like 99% of the people who work in unions, they are patriots. I mean, they are true Americans, and everybody wants to have their American dream. You know, you can't just wrap yourself in a flag and say you're a patriot and move all your money to offshore islands to protect it.
Yeah, and it's just amazing the level of political discourse, isn't it, Maria?
Yeah.
And at a time when I couldn't have imagined, when I was a young guy, that we'd have a guy running for office that says, "Yeah, I moved my billions overseas. I'm not going to show you what I made. Trust me." some of the issues of veterans face are clearly also labor issues. I just don't see very many these Gilded Age guys, these guys that have money like Romney, putting on a uniform and going overseas. But just about everybody I worked with in a steel mill, unless they were disabled or something, had put on a uniform at one point.
Yeah, we have a lot of people in the trades that are military who get called up, and we have programs that take care of veterans. Helmets to hard hats in the building trades is a way for veterans to get into the trades. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of young people. I was at an airport the other day, and a lot of kids were going to basic training, and part of the reason is they can't find a job.
Isn't that horrible? That you know, I mean, while we meaning working people and the organizations of working people, our credentials are in order. We stand up and support our brothers and sisters that have put on uniforms. But isn't it just heartbreaking that we have young people, instead of being able to find jobs, are told to go into the military at this point?
It's a shame, especially when they go to college, spend all that money, have huge college debt, and they can't find a job, and they go to the military because that is a job. You know, I don't know if it's a good paying job.
Yeah.
And a lot of danger.
Well, one of the things I just seen over the weekend as well, Mario, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who heads up the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, has agreed to sign the second Bill of Rights and is working to get Democrat candidates to sign on, and stated that she will push that the Democratic platform also include the second Bill of Rights.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I think it gives us maybe that third way of approaching electoral activities, instead of a little party on one side or just submerging yourself with one political party, putting forward workers' ideas and doing it with thousands and thousands of boots on the ground really gives us some strength, don't you think?
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, is there anything else you felt like you needed to add here, Mario? Urging people to get on board, or?
Yeah, I think it's important that union members or anybody who feels compelled to go to Philadelphia attend this rally, because you know, this, a lot of people say this election is Romney against Biden. Well, you know, I look at it a little differently. I think this election is the right trying to eliminate the unions and any competition that they may have to stand in their way to control everything.
You're right, Mario. There's no organization in our society with all the bumps and bruises and warts that labor has that by its very existence has to stand up for working people and oppose corporations.
And they've come up with issue after issue to spend our time and money to fight, and I think that's their agenda, to just keep bringing all these issues up to exhaust us, to make us penniless, and we can't let it happen. We've got to fight. Every time they bring one up, we got to tell them no.
And it isn't just union workers, as you alluded to. We want to make it clear that this rally is something,
you know, women are under attack, gays, lesbians are under attack,
voters.
We talked about how the very precious, sacred right that people fought and died for the very right to be able to vote in our nation, is under attack by these folks.
Yes.
And anybody that stands up for democracy with a small d, anybody that stands up for the rights of regular working people to have a society that has some level of democracy, this is your rally as well, isn't it?
I believe you're right, yes.
Well, Mario Ciardelli, and I've known Mario for an awfully long time, and to be honest, this is the first time I knew his last name. But I've known Mario for years, so I'm practicing on his last name. A very dear friend and a real leader in this community. We're really glad to have Mario on board here. And in Central Ohio, once again, where will people call if they want to get on the bus to go to Philadelphia this weekend, August 11th, and stand up for America with America's workers?
Call Sarah Smith at the Ohio AFL-CIO, 614-224-8271.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mario.
All right,
and
thank you, Chris.
Hope to see all of you out there at the August 11 march, and we're going to stand up for America and build a better America for us, for our children, and our grandchildren. Thank you all.